cream. Alert! 654 Jose. Okay? On nothing.
Welcome to 3rd and 8 here on Next Door Radio, brought to you by Vanco Outdoor Power Equipment. Let's get the show started with your host, Brandon Adcock.
Hey guys, welcome back here to 3rd and 8 on Next Door Radio and NextDoorRadio.com. It was a Tobacco Road rivalry weekend here in North Carolina, and for the first time in what feels like forever, the real boys in blue that are Duke Blue Devils, you know what I'm saying, top the Carolina Tar Heels at Cameron Indoor Stadium in the first Carolina and Duke game coached by head coach John Shigan. Now, Hubert Davis has owned Duke the past two seasons, going well. No, but now he's 3-2 and 2-3. I can't remember. Either way, he's come on top. But John Shire showed last night down the stretch the promise that many Duke fans have for him coming into the season. Now, is Duke exactly where I thought that they would be? Honestly, in the back half of the season, I can't say they are. But hey, what I can say is Duke was not ranked the top team in the country and, you know, had now not ranked at all. And I can say that about Hubert Davis and the Carolina Tar Heels. I feel like every time that Caleb Love has saw Jeremy Roach, you know what I'm saying, over the past couple of years, his eyes have lit up. It's no secret that last year that they ruined the Coach K's final season at Duke, not once, but twice. And it sucked. It's probably the worst loss in my lifetime outside of the Colts and the Saints in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I think it even honestly beats that. But last night, the Caleb Love, he proved why Carolina fans at times, have been extremely aggravated, though, with his style of play. I hate to use this kind of comparison, but it's the only one I can think of, and I feel like that most sports fans around the world would understand the comparison. Caleb Love is a lot like Kobe Bryant. He's not near as skilled, obviously. He's not near as great, obviously. But he will keep you in a game, or he will take you smooth up out of one. He only hit 5 shots last night, and he attempted triple that many with 15. That's not a recipe, though, for winning basketball games, especially rivalry games on the road.
No, it's not.
You know, Hubert Davis had some comments at halftime and then at the end of the game about his team, you know, hey, not hitting the foul line as much. Hubert Davis, Derek Lively had 8 blocks last night and probably could have had another 3 or 4 if he was a second quicker, you know, on his first jump. But 8 blocks is why you lost that game. Derek Lively, who was the, you know, had a more rated, high school player to come out this year, has had a, I'm not going to say a terrible season. I hesitate to call young men who are freshmen terrible basketball players because both them, you know, on any roster that would smoke me right now. But he is, he's not had the exactly the promising season that Duke fans had hoped. But last night, though, was his Ben Wallace style coming out party. 14 rebounds, 8 blocks, and 4 points. And he affected Armando Bacot in a tremendous manner. If you will look at, you know, hey, just Bacot and you know, the Lively side by side, it is a dramatic size difference. The Bacot has probably about 80 pounds on Lively, it looks like. And he should be advanced enough in his post moves to where, you know, hey, Lively, in theory, is not a problem. He's still got 14 to 10. And Armando Bacot's no scrub. He's probably one of the top, I'd say, 8 to 10 players in the history of Carolina basketball. And that is saying a lot with Michael Jordan, James Worthy, and Tyler Hansbrough, you know what I'm saying, on that same list. But, hey, nonetheless, Jeremy Rose finally got him one last night. And he's the guy who, you know, I started out talking about with Caleb Love. The background changed. Blue, I like that. Caleb Love, you know, hey, like I said early on, has torched Jeremy Roach the past couple years. But Jeremy Roach last night, I'm hoping it got the, you know, hey, monkey off his back per se. And he finally kind of, you know, crossed over and he got past that mental hurdle of Caleb Love just owning his A word. Sorry, Chris, I had to help you somewhere.
I appreciate it.
You know,
matter of fact, we'll even add a
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, hey, 20 points by Jeremy Roach in the big win. And another guy who I want to talk about, too, who's kind of – he's coming into his own. It took him a bit. He's only 18 years young. And that's Tyrese Proctor. He's supposed to be in high school right now in Australia. And he's playing Argue With Your Mama on the biggest stage in college basketball in Cameron Indoor Stadium. Now, you can say Kentucky, they ain't done nothing in 12 years. You can say Kansas, okay. You know, hey, Carolina, okay. You know, I'm not agreeing with you. I'm just saying those are the only two arguments left in college basketball. But, hey, Tyrese Proctor, though, 18 years old, in his first Duke Carolina game, 11 points and 5 assists and 7 rebounds. And he's 18 years old. I feel like, and I said this a couple weeks ago to a guy I'm friends with, Tyrese Proctor, he's probably not going to. But if he stays until he's a senior, he'll be a top 5 point guard in Duke basketball history. He's got the size, the length, and the athleticism, and he's also extremely smart. And when he gets hot, he gets hot. But Duke killed Carolina last night in transition. And that's the part of the game where I was shocked about it, because if you know Duke-Carolina rivalry, Carolina has absolutely obliterated Duke the past couple of years on the run, though, with R.J. Davis, Caleb Love, and even Ty Lawson. Sorry, so I can't don't forget teams later. Sorry, Chris, I couldn't hold back on my hatred for Ty Lawson. But props to Duke basketball last night. I thought, and I said it last year when Duke, you know, he lost in the Final Four, and I'm a bit of an over, you know, reaction the type guy, Chris. I thought, you know what I'm saying, our rivalry was over. Carolina, for lack of a better phrase, had beat us up and stole our wife in those last two games against Coach K. But I guess that the rivalry's not dead. I don't think it'll ever really die. I do hope that John Shire and Hubert Davis both can provide an extra spark going forward. It just doesn't feel right, though, with that, honestly, Roy and K. It feels a little – it doesn't feel real yet, I guess, that both of those guys, you know what I'm saying, are both gone. Because argue with who you want to, once again, those are the two of the top 5 head coaches in college basketball history. As bad as I hate, you know, Carolina, and honestly, two of those guys in the top 5 are Carolina basketball coaches, and you guys don't know how fortunate y'all were to have Roy after Dean. I'm hoping Duke has the same kind of, you know, hey, luck under John Shire. But props to him, man. You know, hey, right now 8-4 in of the ACC conference. But, you know, he's got a tough task against Miami on Monday night. So we'll see how, after a big win, Duke kind of bounces back. Especially young teams at times have, you know, what's called trap games. The Carolina had one, I want to say it was Wednesday night against Pitt, and Jeff Capel has absolutely owned Carolina ever since he's, you know, been the head coach at Pitt. He was my pick for Duke's the next head coach after K, but he took a job at Pitt, so I really can't fault him for that.
He also
– oh, snap.
Yeah, I stuck myself on Jason's mic. Oh, how you like that?
I do like that. I'll let you, boy.
Yeah, how you doing? So he, I didn't think, did too well when Coach K went out with – I think he had a back surgery or something. I didn't think he did too well during his fill-in time.
I agree. I do think that having to be a fill-in and having the time to prep and have your roster set and do things your way is two different scenarios. I was actually at a game where – the Capel, though, was the acting head coach at the time against NC State with Jason Tatum, Harry Giles and that team. And Dennis Smith Jr. smoked Duke's boots that night, though, for lack of a better phrase. He tore us apart. I mean, honestly, 1-on-5. You know, he scored north of 35, though, if I remember correctly. And I was in the stands, like, front row beside the crazies, and I doubt he'd have been inside that night. But he's done a phenomenal job at Pitt. He's turned that program around. But Duke fans are spoiled, and I don't think I'm telling anybody's huge secret here, though, with Duke fans. They're kind of crazy. They don't always understand the moment, per se. And that's sports fans in general, too, where people just overreact. Oh, my God, you know, the sky's falling. And I'm the world's worst for it. I go ahead and admit that. But that's why I can say that. I know what it feels like. I am that guy. You know what I'm saying? I do feel like the Duke fans are just – they don't really understand – the pressure that John Shire is under, being the youngest D1 coach in college basketball and taking over the biggest program. ESPN's numbers would tell you habitually.
How old is he?
He's not much older than we are. He's in his 30s. I'm almost 90% sure he's like mid-30s.
All right, go ahead. I'll look that up.
Yeah, but ESPN every year to post the 5 biggest games watched every year. And I guarantee you the past 10 years, if you go look in that top 5 list of viewership, Duke's been at least 3 of the top 5.
Home Slice is 35.
I'm 31 years old doing a podcast. This man is 4 years older than me coaching the biggest program in college basketball.
He's a year older than me. August 24, 87.
He's 17-6. You know, hey, right now is a record, and fans are trying to get him fired. Don't forget, Duke fans, and this is something I was going to point out, that Coach K has had his moments, though, where his team is honestly good. And honestly, I was trying to beat around and say,
today, well, Junior.
I hate you for that, but I was trying to say, like, not as talented or not as skilled, but they just sucked. And 2 years ago, we had a team that Jeremy Rosner was a starting point guard forward, though, with DJ Stewart, the Mark Williams part of that basketball team, Jalen Johnson, and a bunch of guys off that team transferred, had the following year, and they were 13-11. And it was the year COVID happened. So it's not like it's that long ago. And people just act like that John Shire is supposed to come in and take over, and, you know what I'm saying, no, you know, and just be Coach K.
That's not surprisingly well. I mean, I think
he's 17-6.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, is he
he's
great?
He's better than Jeff Capel?
That's fair. I mean, but he's also got to find his groove. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he's got a very young team, too.
Very young team. He had one guy last night who had played in the Duke Carolina game on his roster that played in this basketball game. Ryan Young is a senior. He played at Northwestern last year. He never played Duke Carolina. Jacob Granison, I want to say he played at Indiana. He's never played Duke Carolina. Jaden Blake's played, you know what I'm saying, a little bit in Duke Carolina. He played for 2 minutes. So outside of Jeremy Roach, who didn't come off the court, thank God, last night, he is the only guy on this roster who had any experience in, you know, the biggest basket, you know, the college basketball rivalry. And to some degree, that's probably a good thing. Because ignorance is bliss, as they say. Duke going forward has done a great job of recruiting. And honestly, like, I don't feel like Carolina has quite hit their stride yet. Don't forget, last year, Carolina fans, we ain't forgot. Y'all were trying to fire, you know, the Hubert Davis a month in. He doesn't know what he's doing. Hubert Davis sucks. He isn't. Of course, he's not Roy Williams. Who is? Roy Williams, you'd be 100% correct, Crystal. Ding yourself on that. Ding.
Let me make it a little. There we go.
There you go. But, I mean,
yeah, Carolina totally threw us off. Carry on.
Oh, no, it's okay. I just lost my train of thought. Yeah, it flew off. But, no, you know, Hubert Davis has done a phenomenal job at Carolina. He did have y'all in the national championship last year. He did choke it away, but he's not on the court either. That's something to the Carolina players, you know, the fans alike have got to understand. Now, I thought that this Carolina team would honestly probably be the best one since 09 and 10 with Tyler Hansbury and them boys. But now, because everybody come back except y'all's X Factor. I said this last year. I hated Captain Caveman. I could not stand the stupid look on Brady Manick's face. He looked like the Geico Caveman. I hated his face. I hated his look, and I hated Brady Manick. But Pete Nance, he was supposed to come in and fill that void. He was a stretch four. He played, you know, had big-time college basketball moments. Last night, he got you 2 points in 30 minutes. 2 points in 30 minutes. I'm not saying I can get you 4. I'm saying if you stuck me in a game, I could get you 2 because somebody going to foul crap out of me. I'm jumping into somebody and running them over something. But, you know, hey, all kidding aside, Baliki Black last night, he was being left open in the corner all night long, and he was knocking shots down. And if Leaky Black, on any night, is y'all's best offensive player in a Carolina basketball uniform, it's not going to end up in a victory. He should be the 5th guy, and maybe the 7th after Trimble and Puff Washington, or the Puff Johnson, sorry. But I just feel like going forward, man, the Duke and Carolina are both under very good hands in Hubert Davis and John Shire. Props to both these, you know, hey, colleges, though, from losing 2 of the top 5 coaches all time and kind of finding their own way. I was hoping that Duke, honestly, wasn't going to turn into UConn. You know what I'm saying? Once Jim Calhoun left the UConn, I don't even know who that coach is right now. That's what I was afraid of happening to Duke. But John Shire, so far, the sky could fall next week in back-to-back losses or whatever. But last night, Derek Lively, John Shire, Jeremy Roach, and Tyrese Proctor. Props to those guys in blue. And, hey, Pete Nance, boy, hey, you got to do better, baby. I mean, 2 points in the Tar Heel rivalry and cutting it to Pete Nance in 30 minutes. But I think, in my opinion, that their best combo of 5 players on the floor at Carolina is Baycott, Black, RJ Davis, Love, and Seth Trimble. I don't know what it is about Seth Trimble, but it seems like every time he touches the floor for extended minutes, he does, you know, quite well. And he's another kind of a RJ Davis-esque type guard who's kind of a combo guard, a tweener guard, and he's very quick. Hopefully Duke can have another guard on the bench next year who's not Jacob Granison, because, I mean, he did okay last night, but typically speaking, the Duke has a lack of guard depth on the bench. But hopefully John Shire has learned his lesson and keeps Ryan Young off the floor in more extended time going forward. But props to Duke basketball for bouncing back on the Bay Way, man. Chris Karras out, if you don't mind, please, sir.
Oh, we was at that point.
Yes, I was. Sorry, I'm watching the clock over here.
We'll just pretend. Da-da-da. There we go. All right. Thank you, Vanco Outdoor Power Equipment, for sponsoring this hour of 3rd and 8 here on Next Door Radio, nextdoorradio.com. When we come back, we will cover
the Super Bowl, baby.
The Super Bowl.
And head coaching and coaching changes and whatnot. This one around the NFL.
Not the toilet bowl.
Well,
we have had that in the past.
I mean, that's the Pro Bowl at this point, technically, because that is god-awful programming. The NFL should be fined $500,000. They should that's be beat awesome. Up for that.
God that almighty. Is awesome. But no Tom Brady this year. So when we get back, happiness. Stay tuned.
Y'all mad at Giannis though because he stayed home and won the title of Milwaukee. Then when y'all was praising LeBron James though for going across town to Miami to win the title in 2010, going back to back with Boston. Wait,
no need to rush. There's plenty more show left. Let's get back to it.
Hey guys, welcome back here to Throwing It 8 on Next Door Radio, nextdoorradio.com. I have a new co-host
Speaking
for this segment.
Speaking of Next Door,
I'm very pumped, man. I got the owner. The founder of Next Door Radio in the house, Trey Snyder. What's going on, baby? What's How up, you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. And hey, up next, man, there was the game that we've all have been waiting for since like training camp kicked off. It's down to two, Trey. It's the Eagles and Chiefs, man. You know how you feel about this game the next Sunday night?
Well, going into it, before we kind of kicked in, I should have told you this before I got on here, but we left the Charlotte Hornets versus Orlando Magic game. Uh-huh.
Who won?
The Magic did.
Okay.
But the ACC powerhouse that both of these teams bring was pretty impressive. Of course, you have Plumlee, who is a terrible
He's
basketball
having a
player.
Good year, though.
He is a terrible basketball
which
player.
Which Plumlee is it?
Mason.
Mason, okay.
Yeah, he's a terrible basketball player. He's the reason why they lost that game. But because he can't hit a free throw. He missed almost 10 free throws.
Welcome
in this
back
game.
To
He's
Duke.
Terrible.
Well.
He's terrible. Anyway, back to the point. This is going to be a fun matchup. It's two powerhouse NFL programs. It's two quarterbacks that can do a lot on the run. The problem with them is, though, right now, Mahomes is hurt.
Yeah.
And so you have to go – we don't know what's going to happen there, but I'm excited. It's going to be a good game.
Yeah, his ankle last game, he definitely wasn't himself. And it's sad because 80% of Mahomes is better than like 90% of other quarterbacks.
He also already walks funny anyway. You add an ankle sprain to it, and it's like, oh,
that's
boy.
The second time I've heard that mentioned this week. He's already got a little bit of hitch in his giddy up, as they say. So having him, having a bump ankle isn't good. But I do feel like that he's going to have to need, like, both his good ankles and maybe a third or a hover round or something, because that Eagles pass rush is absolutely amazing.
I have nothing against the Eagles. I just don't have anything for the Eagles either. So, I'm rooting Mahomes this weekend.
I've been there. Sure. I don't like their fans, and I don't feel like I'm breaking any news here. You know what I'm saying? When I say that their fans are typically terrible people, and I had some yell at me, and I was wearing a Colts hoodie. I mean, which partially my fault is being in Philadelphia wearing a Colts hoodie, but
it'll do it.
Yeah, I rep who I rep. I'm not apologizing for it, but I'm hoping that hey, Kansas City can try to at least start a run game, Trey, because that's been their bugaboo all year long. Is their ability to not run the football has killed them at times.
Well, they really haven't had to. Mahomes, Kelsey, I mean, they're doing it. Tony from – they got picked up from the Giants.
Giants, yep.
Who is hurt now. But he's been – I mean, they've been great. They really haven't had to have the chance to run the football because Mahomes is – he is special.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like you mentioned in just your second ago, the pass rush for Philadelphia is fantastic. They picked up people during the season that has helped them. I mean, so that's – it's going to be a tough task for the running attack for – for them, but we'll see.
Yeah, there's a former Panther on this line, Hassan Reddick. I mean, why did the Panthers let him go? I don't understand.
It's called Matt Rhule.
That is fair.
Matt Rhule, once again, is a terrible football coach. And
yeah, poor Nebraska. I think he'll be fine in Nebraska, oddly enough. I just don't think that the pro game that was good for his mindset and or skill set as a football coach.
Well, you can't go into it expecting when you've never been an NFL head coach. Yes, you were. It took you 3 years there. At your old alma mater to be able to bring him to a powerhouse kind of thing. But you look at it, you can't bring that same motto into the NFL and expect grown men to really follow you when you're literally barking at them when you're a terrible coach. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, the Bill Belichick
proved to be that.
Oh, 100%. The Bill Belichick bars the guys, but he's got the cachet. Whatever. Bill says it, you can be like, I don't like how you said it, but I'm going to do it because you've got rings all over both hands. Yeah. At this point, he truly does. But honestly, hey, Panther-wise, going forward real quick, we're going to take a little segue with it, here. Who do you like as their quarterback going into next year being a Panthers fan? Who do you want, under center in Carolina, who's y'all's new head coach? Frank Wright, sorry.
You should know that already.
Yeah, but I blanked, sorry. Yeah.
No, look, great hire. I think it's a fantastic, it's a winning mindset head coach. I think the last year there in Annapolis wasn't his fault, so let's go ahead and get that out of the way. But I think it's a great hire. He's got a winning mentality. He's got a winning record, which helps. One of the reasons why Wilkes wasn't rehired. But you look at it as Sam Darnold played extremely well. I mean, again,
stretch he did. I mean, it was really odd.
Let's say, well, he threw for 180 yards a game and with zero interceptions, and
that's progress.
Careful, Jason will have something to say about that.
Yeah.
I mean, so that is progress for him. But he was a game manager, and that's what Carolina needed at the time. We know P.J. Walker is a four string on any other program, but he was a starter for Carolina this year. Let's be honest, and we don't know what we're going to get out of Matt Corral. So the fourth round pick we picked up during the draft this past year, who got hurt in spring training, or in offseason. I think Sam Darnold will go into it because I think it's going to be a one-year deal, kind of prove it. But if they don't get a C.J. Stroud in the draft coming up, who I think they should be targeting a tight end with, in a.k.a. Notre Dame tight end in the first round.
Oh, Mike Myers.
All day.
Hey, he's got a fantastic name, too. Yeah, he's going to be really good. He's really good, though. And I feel like, too, at eight, I don't know if Stroud's going to be there. I'm hoping Stroud's at four. He's the guy that I've got my fingers crossed for that wind up in Annapolis. I'm not a big Bryce Young guy. I can't get past his size.
Yeah.
It sounds bad to say that out loud, but those guys who are, you know, who are building that size don't last very long in this league. And I hate Will Levis. I'm just going to, say that outright. And Anthony Richardson, who's honestly a wild card, you know, hey, quarterback-wise in the draft, I feel like he could be a little bit like a Lamar Jackson because he's fast. He's very fast. But I think you guys are going to end up there with Derek Carr.
And I'm all for that. But the problem where the Carolina Panthers are right now in the present day is they can't afford to take a wild card like Levis, Richardson.
I agree.
If those quarterbacks, and I'm on board with you, I'm not a big fan of Young. I will take Stroud because, you know, why not? He's throwing for 100,000 yards there at Ohio State. So I'm a fan of that. But if we don't reach for somebody like a Levis or Richardson, we're going to be okay because we're not in that predicament now that we have to do that. We can go get – we have the draft capital now by trading Christian McCaffrey, by trading Anderson over to Arizona. We have the draft capital to go get a Derek Carr. And we can do that. I'm all for.
And I think Derek Carr is a phenomenal quarterback. He's not in the same level as Pat Mahomes or Joe Burrow, but he's a very serviceable quarterback. And right now, though, if you look at the Saints quarterback, who's their quarterback? They don't know. Tampa Bay really doesn't know. Mm-hmm. Tom, I'm not falling for it twice. And sorry, I'm just not. And the Falcons have Desmond Ridder. So Derek Carr, you know what I'm saying? You know, he could slot in week one. He's the top starter, though, in that.
Well, be honest, Sam Darnold is also a top starter in that division if he comes back this year. And he's
that's sad to say, but yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I think we have zero. No, Matt Corral is our only quarterback on the
contract.
Right now, let's be honest. So I think we're going to, because he had a productive year in order to be able to go get that 1 year contract, because you don't have to build around him. I mean, let's be honest. You got pieces. The run attack now Foreman is also a free agent. The only one there is Hubbard.
Y'all have got to sign Foreman back.
He can't catch water. I mean, so
No.
He's a terrible receiving back. So
it's
going to be kind of interesting, but I like the fact that he was able to kind of put some pieces together. We just got blown out by Tampa Bay, and that's our problem right there.
I think that's what hurt Steve Wilkes, though, getting hired.
Yep.
And I think, obviously Carolina fans had an uproar about it, but I think that having an offensive-minded head coach in Frank Reich is going to be, huge for Carolina, because y'all's defense is, I'm not going to say it's top-notch, but Trey, y'all have got some pieces across that defense where they are solid all-pro pieces. And if you could just find a competent quarterback that with a really good offensive head coach in Frank Reich, sky's the limit in Carolina.
You say that now that he's not at the Colts.
We didn't give him a fighting chance. And I feel bad for how we treated Matt Ryan. You know what? I'm so tired of our franchise, and I hope to God, after hitting the Powerball for this 7-point or whatever billion dollars, the next best gift I could get in the morning, though, when I wake up out of bed, is to scroll down my phone and Bleacher Report has sent me a notification, and Coach Nation has sent me a notification that Frank Reich has been fired and is working at Maha. You know what? And the next day, Frank Reich got fired. But hear me out on this. I understand. Hey, that's a bit of a cold take right here. Chris had that. He had that ready from the moment I brought on Frank
Reich.
That's
been sitting there for 2 months. You hear me?
Chris, oh, you like Frank Reich, huh? How about this?
Uh-huh.
Boy, that's a bad look, ain't it?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's Skip Bayless for me right there. But honestly, we don't have a quarterback either, so I'm hoping, you know, hey, we get Stroud, or I wouldn't mind Carr, but, you know what I'm saying, as far as quarterbacks go in this draft, I'm hoping that we just stay away from Will Levis and Bryce Young, because I don't have any kind of love for those two guys.
Well, Indianapolis is so used to getting those one-and-done years. For example, the over-the-heel kind of guys. Hey, Phillip Rivers, let's be honest, was over the heels. Yeah. Matt Ryan.
Rivers actually played well, and that's why I was surprised he retired when he did, you know, going into
he's
that.
He's got 100 kids. He's going to go live on the farm. Yeah. He doesn't have to worry about it. Why play?
I mean, he's got his own 7-on-7 team out there. Yeah.
Move on. Have a good life.
And that's why I thought that Matt Ryan, honestly, he didn't play terrible last year, though. But, you know, honestly, we kind of lied to Matt Ryan a little bit. We promised him a top five offensive line. And, I mean, he was a bottom 25. You know what I'm saying? We promised him a good run game. He didn't get that. He didn't have a number one wide receiver, but we kind of conned him out of Atlanta, and then in turn Atlanta conned us. But
they won that trade.
100%. You know, whoever they take in the third round is going to have a definitely, the Matt Ryan can be there next year. I'll tell you that. Out of where he is, I don't know. Honestly, he might come to Carolina for a year.
No,
I don't think so.
Today, you know, I don't know if you guys talked about it already, but Carolina Panthers hired their new defense coordinator today.
Fantastic hire. Yeah. I can't pronounce his name.
Ivero.
Okay. Fair enough.
So he obviously was let go by the Peyton administration there in the Broncos.
Stupid
and
move.
Go back to last year with how bad they were. They were the number one defense for literally 85% of the year.
So he was able
to go out and look for other opportunities. Now Frank Reich's there in Carolina. We bring a really good defense. We just got to get somebody that learns how to play cornerback when our two studs are hurt. I mean, let's be honest.
And that's
There's nobody on the depth chart behind
them. Yeah. Those two are really good one and two, but those injuries tend to pile up after about week nine. It seems like it's, he's out two games. When he comes back, and he's going for three. And then he comes back, he's going for four. It's like it's every week, you know what I'm saying, with Carolina secondary. But huge hire by Frank Reich. And he did lose two really good head coaches in Matt Eberflus and Nick Sirianni, who's coaching in the Super Bowl in the past back-to-back years. So that really hurt Frank Reich in Indianapolis as well, though. But that's what happens, though, when you're running at least a halfway decent program down there. But anyway, then we'll circle back here to Nick Sirianni, though, in the Philadelphia Eagles. Are you liking this big game?
I'm going with Philadelphia. And I like Hurts.
Oh, wow.
He's a little bit he's healthier. He's away from the injury bug that he had during the middle of the year where he missed, three or four games in a row. He's been fully healthy. The team around him is fully healthy. The two big guns for Kansas City right now, and Mahomes and Kelsey, both are hurt. You look at it, yes, it's a high ankle sprain, and running from a track to it from a cross-country background back when, you know, my heydays, those high ankle sprains do not go away, especially when you keep getting hit and the defensive player knows that you have a high ankle sprain. And so that's going to be tough, especially with this Philadelphia Eagles pass rush like you mentioned before. I like the fact that the only reason why I'm going with Philadelphia is because they are more healthier than Kansas City right now.
And that's what scares me. Did you just Smith-Schuster's hurt? Miko Harmon's hurt. Tony's hurt. You know,
Kelsey's hurt. Mahomes
Yeah, Willie Gay, who's a really good inside linebacker for them in their, 5-2 scheme or 4-2 scheme. I hate to say it, Trey, though, but I got to agree with you. I do think it's going to be the Eagles, and I don't think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a 10-point-plus football game. I really do.
I'm hoping for another Pat Mahomes Super Bowl.
That tripped me out when he did it a little while ago. It's the first time he'd done it. I giggled.
That's impressive.
I slid it over, and I was at Jason's mic.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
Now we got you. I got Pat Mahomes all the way on this. I'm
hoping for Pat.
I hope Pat goes flat on the bus. The plane can't take off, whatever. I just nothing against the Eagles. Just I don't want you to win. I don't know.
I mean, I can get behind that 100%.
Yeah, we have no affiliate to either one of these programs. But you look at it, the healthier aspect of it, they have a better running attack. That right now they have a better wide receiver group.
Yeah. Right?
And so, overall, you look at it, the depth chart is just much better than what Kansas
City. If you look at running
has.
Backs and wide receivers, like you said, it's the Eagles. Sanders over Pacheco, A.J. Brown over anybody who's a wide receiver. Honestly, the Devontae Smith, who's the number two on the Eagles, you know, he'd be a one in Anywhere. You know Kansas City right now.
Yep.
Now, that's our predictions, man. I got Eagles, unfortunately, cheering for Pat. Hey, real quick, Trey, if Pat wins two, is he top five all time right now?
Oh, he's already. I think he's already.
Woo! All time top five.
And because, again, I'm going in the 80s.
I have to put you on a spot since you're here.
Okay.
And Jason's not. Is Kirk Cousins top 10 all-time quarterback?
All time?
All time.
Well, I don't know about all time. But I like the fact you go to last.
We'll That's say, all you had to say.
Yeah. Me and Jason have kind of had this conversation before. I love me some Kirk Cousins. I will welcome him to Carolina yesterday. But all time, I can't do that.
And that's my thought process on the Colts. Yeah, like, I don't dislike Kirk. I mean, he'd be a good addition on the Colts. I just don't think he's top 10 all time.
All time? I can't say all time. But, you know, last, we'll say 10 years? Absolutely.
Fair enough. Absolutely. Well, we got to pay some of Trey's bills. So, when we come back, we will cover Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't want to talk about it. It's so bad. I don't know what the Pro Bowl is. It's so bad.
All right. When we get back, we will cover flag football, Pro Bowl, whatever it is here on Next Door Radio, nextdoorradio.com. Thank you for joining us this evening, Third and Eight. And thank you, Vanco Outdoor Power Equipment.
The only thing good that's ever come out of Detroit is American-made trucks and M&M. That's it. Bro, I'm so sick of these electric cars. I want some gas-powered fuel in my fuel tank. I want to mash this wah-wah-wah-wah-wah.
You can still buy your gas-guzzling vehicle all you want.
Brady said he didn't want to pull up beside you to stop like go.
Welcome back to Third and Eight.
Hey guys, welcome back here to Third and Eight on Next Door Radio, nextdoorradio.com. Much like everybody else in my life, Trey has left me. But,
but he'll be back.
Yeah. How did you figure? How did you follow up my yikes with a big one? That is terrible. Oh, I love it though. The welcome to have me and Chris talk to each other off the set, to be honest with you. But yeah, man, like we were talking about last segment, man, this Eagles first achieve. It boiled down to this. Chris actually said early on in the playoffs it was going to be Kansas City. I said the Bills. Jason said, you know, what he said about the Vikings because we all knew better.
Well, we saw what time it's going to be played.
I called that, did I not? I said, is it 4:30? The Vikings going to the crib. But I just don't feel like Kansas City is going to have enough offensive firepower to win this football game.
There's potential for that. Okay, so if I'm being completely objective,
yeah,
Eagles will probably win that.
I'm cheering for Kansas City though, bro. Like,
but
I think
cheering for Kansas City.
Okay, so yes. Me and you want the same, bro. Like, yes. I hate the Eagles. What? Okay,
I don't hate them. I hate That's Trevor fair. Lawrence. Okay, I just
I've got to find me a player to hate because, like I said, Jason's got
don't
to,
hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah. All right, you hate Trevor Lawrence for whatever. Honest to God reason, I don't know.
There isn't a good reason. It's just I flipped a coin and was like, oh, you don't want to hate this week.
Right. Fair enough. I feel like, you know what? That's what I got to do in the next week is find me a player I can despise. Play just somebody to hate on.
Just play a game of darts. Like, put them all up on the wall, throw a dart at it, and be like, all right, that's the one we're hating this week.
Tom Brady made it so easy for me for 21 years
he
to hate somebody.
He should have made it easier last year after he ruined your cake.
He did. And it's hard to, you know, ruin a cake for me, but I kind of wish Tom would come back. I want to see him be bad like one more time.
What?
I want to see
Who
him
suck
one more time.
Oh, okay.
It's like seeing. Have you ever seen Friday with Chris Tucker and Ice Cube?
I have seen clips. I've not seen the whole movie.
Watching Tom Brady be bad is like watching Debo get beat up with a brick.
God.
Like Debo been bullying everybody for, you know, his whole life, and then he gets beat up by a brick and Craig, and just, you know, hey, Craig and that brick was Dak Prescott in Dallas. But I think. And I may have said this already. I think if I had to pick a guy just to hate on for no reason except for being a diabolical hater in the words of Dave Chappelle, it'd probably be Russell Wilson. He's got a very slappable face.
Well, his last season hasn't really done him any favors.
No, I do think, and I predicted this last week on the show. I said Sean Payton was going to go there.
Uh-huh.
It happened the next day. I knew it because they had been hounding Sean Payton like dirty, filthy animals.
All right, talk to me about why they had to negotiate with the Saints.
Because his contract rights, though, was still held by the Saints. Now, he wasn't fired.
Uh-huh.
He walked out.
Uh-huh.
So the Saints still had his contract rights. And so now Denver has no first-round picks until 2026, I want to say. But you got a very experienced coach who knows how to get a short pocket-passing quarterback, some historic numbers.
Uh-huh.
If there's a year to buy into Russell Wilson, it may be this one.
Okay.
And I hate to say that after just saying he had a slappable face, but Sean Payton's pedigree has been great. I do think the hiring of him was all that Broncos fans could ask for in trying to revitalize a big contract by Russell Wilson that these fans are quite frankly unpleased with during the last, I don't know, 5 months or so. After he played the week one, everybody's like, this is not going to go good. But he's got to get a very solid run game in the building. He's got to get a tad bit better offensive line. And they need some weapons on the tight end side of the ball. But, hey, Denver's defense definitely got some football players. But, you know, hey, Trey made the comment earlier of why the Broncos let their head D coordinator go. Hey, real quick, he's going to be good in Carolina. Oh, I slapped my microphone. Sean Payton never cared nothing about no defense. I know if you're a Carolina fan, do you know what I'm talking about? Them Saints teams had like top five historically worst defenses for like years, it felt like. So that's why they ain't going to play no defense in Denver if Sean Payton is there. But I think that they'll run a high powered passing attack. But that's not even the hire I'm most ecstatic about. The biggest hire to me personally as a Colts fan this week is the Houston Texans. Stop drafting and hiring people I cheer for, Houston. At first, it was Deshaun Watson, which that turned out to be bad in hindsight, cheering for him. But, I mean, you don't know until you know.
It I mean,
but having a head coach there who played there as a Pro Bowl linebacker, props to the Houston Texans. Now, if they fire a third African-American head coach after 1 year in, that franchise should probably get some long looks. I feel like the past two, especially Lovey's firing, David Culley, you know, I mean, most folks understood David Culley was a sitting duck.
Lovey was a one-year deal, right?
Lovey,
short and sweet, done.
They fired him. He was supposed to be there 3. They fired him. They told him the day before the last game he was getting fired, and would have to cost him number one pick. Props to Lovie Smith. Most gangster move of all time.
That was awesome.
Like, that is the most gangster stuff I have ever seen. Like, oh, you're going to fire me? Hey, yo, watch this. Now, I hate he had to do it against the Colts, but he improved our draft position and dropped the Houston Texans. So, I'm all, yeah. Hey, appreciate you. He did me a solid, too. Appreciate you, Pimp Juice. But, you know, having a head coach there who played there, and he's led the San Francisco defense the past couple of years to the best defense in football outside of a Sunday ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, D'Amico Ryans, man, props to you. I'm very proud that he has finally, you know, had risen up the ranks and becoming a head coach. I really wanted him in Indianapolis. I have said before, I'm not big on defensive-minded head coaches, but, you know, honestly, you know what I'm saying, the D'Amico Ryans, he seems like a player's coach. He just left in 2011, and he's been around the, you know, league since that point. So, I think that our head coaching search has got to be down to two guys. Shane Steichen and Bill Callahan. My worry is knowing who our owner is that we're going to hire Wink Martindale or Jeff Saturday. Now, Shane Steichen, he flipped the script on Jalen Hurts this year, but I will say that offense is absolutely teetotally stacked from Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders. Go ahead.
Nothing.
Okay, and A.J. Brown. Now, Bill Callahan, on the other hand, well, he's not lacking either. He's got Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Mixon, who just caught a charge this week.
Demi. Saw that.
Point the gun at folks.
And it's not the first time, if I recall.
I think he beat up a chick in college, too.
Yeah, it was a while ago. But, yeah, there was something else that they were like, yeah, that's not his first time.
At some point, players have got to understand that the amount of money you're capable of making in that lifestyle really irritates people like myself, who would never have the ability to make that kind of money, and you squander it away having a quick temper. Dear Lord, make it make sense. But, hey, Bill Callahan's
people
also had a
people.
Huh?
People being people.
I mean, 100%. But, you know, hey, Bill Callahan's definitely had a, you know what I'm saying, a nice core, though, in the Bengals. But I will say up front, if we hire Wink Martindale, I will find a new team to cheer for next year.
Oh, wow.
I don't want a 60.
You wouldn't even give it a shot.
He gets 2 weeks, and he better be 2-0.
Wow.
I don't think the Colts will hire Wink Martindale. I think there's a better chance that we hire Jeff Saturday because our owner's, I mean, he's a bit of an idiot. But I think that we're the last open job left, if I'm not mistaken, head coaching job. Anyway, I could be wrong. Then I'm trying to do the math in my head. The Panthers hired their guy. The Texans hired their guy. The Broncos hired their guy. All right, Chris, who
we
else
kept
is left?
Our guy.
y'all catch y'all's guy. Scott Turner got a job this week with the Vegas Raiders. I think Aaron, like, he's going to look good, you know what I'm saying, the design and passing plays for Aaron Rodgers here in about 8 weeks.
Did you see what
Brian Schottenheimer, that was hired as a new offensive coordinator in Dallas, by the way? Go ahead, sorry.
Did you see what Derek Carr said to the news reporter in Vegas this week? Let me find this real quick. You go ahead and do your thing. Let me find this real quick.
Lord, what did he say?
It was great. He picked on himself. It was cool.
Oh, the way he said he's finally playing back in Vegas or something.
No. The guy said, "Hey, you looking really good, man. That's not the first time you look like that in Vegas or something like that." And he responded back, "Yeah, if I'd look like that more often, I probably wouldn't be looking for a job or something like that." It was great.
I love
it. Was
great. Self-deprecating humor. It's very nice. Oh, it's the Arizona Cardinals, the last team who
needs a quarterback.
That too. He comes up a little bit short every year, but
good kid.
I think that they're going to hire Brian Flores. I did this again last week.
Wait,
I do think he's going to come.
I thought somebody already hired Brian Flores.
He's being interviewed for a defensive head coaching jobs right now.
Okay.
He's a coordinator right now, though, but he's not. I don't think he's.
Is he currently unemployed then? He didn't work at all this year?
Yeah, he was the linebackers coach for Mike Tomlin on the Steelers.
Okay.
The only thing about Brian, I feel like, is going to be kind of a detriment to his hiring as a head coach is that he is suing his employer. I feel like if I sued my employer, that they would not be very excited to move me up in higher roles. I feel like that wouldn't be really even a topic of discussion at this point. But it's the Colts and, Cardinals left. But something I want to talk about real quick as Chris is finding his Derek Carr quote here is a little bit of NBA news. I've said for about a year and a half now that Luka Doncic on the Dallas Mavericks has not had any help, next to no help, on the offensive side of the ball outside of Jalen Brunson, who's now New York Knick. We ain't done NBA talk all year, but Jason's not here today, so I'm going to sneak some in there. But the Dallas Mavericks have finally gotten some help today in Kyrie Irving. I understand people's love for Kyrie Irving. He's a YouTube sensation. Like, easily top three handles in the game all time. He hit actually the biggest shot in Cleveland Cavalier basketball history. He was a former Duke player, one and done. He cost us a title that year, in my opinion, taking the ball out of the hands of Nolan Smith, who was an All-American. But I do feel like that Kyrie Irving has had his issues the past couple years. He said he was going to sign in Boston or in Cleveland. He goes to Boston. Then he said he was going to sign in Boston and goes to wherever he went to next. I forgot. And then he said he wants to stay. He said a week ago, "I want to sign an extension in Brooklyn with KD. That's my boy, Cam Thomas, and them boys." And then 5 days, I was like, "You know what? Y'all get me up out of here. I don't want to be here no more." He's got the personality traits of a female, a terrible female. Sorry.
I can neither condone nor anything with that.
Well, fair enough. I'll say what I said. Now, I'm still behind Kyrie Irving in various times in his choices, I'll say, the past couple of years. I stood with him on the Vax comments and everything where, I didn't think that the NBA had a right to force their guys to get vaccinated.
Uh-huh.
It's a personal choice to me. That's whatever. But I feel like Kyrie Irving is going to set the Dallas Mavericks back 5 years. You got the top two player in the league, in my opinion, though, Luka Doncic, and you're going to take the ball out of his hands and give it to a guy who don't want to come to work, a guy who doesn't put in the hard work, in my opinion, a guy who changes his mind as fast as I change my draws. But, my God, why would you do that, Dallas?
No, don't look at me.
Dorian Finney-Smith is an excellent 3-and-D player. Hey, Dinwiddie, stupid, underrated on the offensive side of the ball. He goes back to Brooklyn to where he come from. But I just think that was a stupid move for Dallas. Have you found your Derek Carr coach?
I have. Here we go, man.
Fire away, Roy.
By himself. Listen, Derek, you've thrown touchdown passes in Vegas before. You've been on fire. Have you ever been that hot in Las Vegas?
Oh, no. Don't buff it.
That's probably why I'm going somewhere else.
Nice.
Self-deprecating humor. Yeah. Okay, I can get down with that. That's the kind of humor I have.
He also got a haircut. Did you see that?
No.
He got a haircut.
He still looked like Sid from Toy Story.
He took his eyeliner off. He looks more like Sid now with the haircut. Oh, let me scroll down and get you there. Hold up. Let's
see here. He really does look like Sid. I'm loving it.
That's the one. Yeah, look at that.
I mean, now he looks like a normal dude. But I do think
he
now
like took 10 years off.
Yeah. His trade deadline is there to Valentine's Day. And so if he's on the roster the day before Valentine's Day or after Valentine's Day, sorry, his contract is guaranteed for that year. Ooh. So he's going to be traded here, I'll say, in the next 12 days. Like, he's going to have to be traded. I think a team that everybody needs to watch is the New Orleans Saints.
Jeebus.
That scared me. Yeah, it's the New Orleans Saints. They do not have a quarterback right now. And they need one in the worst way. Now, they got a winnable division. I think the Panthers and the Saints are going to be the two teams to watch. I said the Panthers already, you know, saying my trade was here, though, and I do kind of see how that could be a connection. I do think, you know, hey, the Geno Smith has his job saved there from last year. I think that I don't know what the Jets are going to do. I ain't going to sit here and lie to you and tell you it's going to be Zach Wilson. I don't know what the Jets are going to do.
I think the boys back home just so they can see Derek Carr in a normal.
Yeah, he looks relatively normal there. He's not crying or nothing either.
Aww.
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be in Vegas. I think Aaron Rodgers in Vegas works. He's got Josh McDaniels and Devontae Adams, and it's Aaron Rodgers in Vegas. I do think that the Saints and the Panthers are two teams who are going to heavily go after Derek Carr. And it would be great to see Derek Carr end up in a spot where he can flourish as a quarterback and not get blamed for everything.
Which one do you think he would be taken by? Like, which one is he more likely to want to go to?
Are you asking if I was Derek Carr,
who would I go to? Which one would you be better suited for?
I'd go to the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
You have an offensive-minded head coach in Frank Wright, the first is Dennis Allen, who's a defensive guy. The Saints ain't got a number one wide receiver. The Panthers do in DJ Moore. The Saints got Alvin Kamara. He's got his own issues. Uh-huh. They've got a Foreman and Hubbard if Foreman comes back. They ain't got no defense really though in New Orleans left. The Panthers are young and up and coming.
Okay.
And if you go to the Panthers and you win 9 games, you're a hero around here.
Oh, that's fair.
I
kind of hope he does. So here's the deal. If he goes to either one of those, I get to see him this year. Because as it turns out, we made a deal with my son for Christmas. Because he's a huge Saints fan.
Yeah.
Because he likes to watch teams lose. And so he's
a huge Saints fan. Hey, buddy, you're a Washington fan. I'm a Colts fan. Hey, we are not in a predicament to judge here.
It takes one to know one, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
So we had an arrangement with him where he's always one. He's a big Drew Brees fan, but you know, can't afford that one.
Yeah, sorry.
So can't go back in time. But we told him we'd take him to go to a Saints game, and you know, the Carolina Panthers being where they are, you know, in North Carolina.
Yeah.
We opted that we're going to try to find a Carolina Panthers Saints game at home because they should play them at home and away.
Oh yeah, guaranteed.
Year.
Yeah, guaranteed.
So we're going. Yeah, it's every year. So if he goes Saints. Or Panthers.
You'll see Derek Carr this year.
Yeah, get to see Derek Carr this year.
The Panthers or...
My son does not want him at the Saints, by the way.
It's crazy.
Made that clear.
I think the Colts are coming here as well. And I think that the Rams are coming... No, the Colts... The Panthers are going to the Colts. So somebody's playing my son's team somewhere to where I want to go watch them is what I was trying to get at. Yeah, scheduling a conflict I was trying to get around there. But I do think Rodgers is going to be Vegas, and I think Derek Carr is going to be probably in Carolina, though, if I had to take
you know,
it. I think
the Saints
are
go ahead.
You know what I'm saying, they're the strong team to watch him behind the scenes.
How about the fact that the Carolina Panthers let go of Christian McCaffrey?
Smart move.
Yeah. I mean, you saw what they was doing with him.
Yeah.
You know what they never did with him?
When?
No, well, okay. So, fair enough. I'll give you that one.
When?
They also never put him in at quarterback. Look at the 49ers. But go ahead.
Yeah. That was a bad situation. I felt so bad for the 49ers and Brock Purdy and Josh Johnson and Christian McCaffrey and every 49er fan around the world.
And the other three quarterbacks that got hurt.
Yeah, my God. Steve Young made the comment, I'm warming up in the parking lot. Call me.
People were mad at Jimmy G.
Because he was laughing?
Yes.
Hey, yo, look. All right, hear me out on this. Just hear me out. If I go into work tomorrow, and my boss is like, I found a guy who's going to replace you. He's bigger than you, stronger than you, more athletic than you, and done half the work. And they're like, I want you to mentor that guy. And that guy gets hurt, and you call me back. I'm like, can't help you. And then you're going to hire another guy to come in and replace me? If I was Jimmy G, I'd be laughing too. I can't help you.
I mean, 3 quarterbacks post Jimmy G got hurt. Yeah.
And Jimmy G got to a Super Bowl and you spit in his face twice, and that's what you get. I think he – ooh. Oh, we got to do the where quarterback's going to go at some point very soon. But next week is our Super Bowl show. Obviously, we come.
That'll be short and sweet. We'll either be happy or mad.
I don't know who Jason wants to win. It's not the Eagles. I can guarantee you that. So
he'll be wanting the Chiefs.
I think the Eagles are going to win, but Chris and I both are cheering for Kansas City. I hope y'all pull it off.
The Eagles have the best likelihood. However, I hope Kansas City whoops up.
If Pat Mahomes wins a Super Bowl this or next weekend, he is a top five quarterback all time already, just as Trey Snyder stated earlier on the show.
I like it.
If he wins two or 3 years.
Brady.
Huh?
I hope he takes over Brady.
I wouldn't mind it.
We'll see y'all next week after the Super Bowl.
Hey, go Chiefs.